Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares my experiences as an energy healing practitioner and medium, relating stories, miracles, and insights into the world of universal energy, our soul life journey, the afterlife, starting to show how we may use intuition for self-development. Today I welcome Garnet Schulhauser, author of his newest book, Dancing Forever with Spirit, who shares startling new revelations about our soul journey on Earth and the afterlife that awaits us. Hello, Garnet. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Garnet, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I share amazing stories of coincidences, synchronicities, miracles that take us beyond ordinary daily life experiences to experiences of the spirit of our inner soul journey, so we can soar and go within our minds and hearts to realms of life beyond this physical plane, and to know we are more than our physical bodies, much more than we sometimes appear to be, and are quite simply spiritual beings or energies having a physical life experience. Learning more about our inner intuitive soul connection to universal life is, I believe, the key to self-investigation and to self-mastery of emotions, so we can approach any event or challenge, make informed choices, and find ways to prosper, be healthy, and be in harmony with life. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Garnet, who lives with his family near Victoria on Vancouver Island in Canada, recounts his personal encounter with Albert, who appeared to be a homeless man, but turned out to be something else, and Albert offered Garnet a new view of his life and life beyond this physical plane. We will find out why Garnet believes he was asked to participate in an opening of his vision and perceptions to a higher level of higher consciousness and awareness, and how he learned it is now necessary for everyone to begin an inner journey to discover the real values of man, God, and nature if we are to continue to evolve, thrive, and explore life in all its many layers and dynamics. Garnet, I often like to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and any memories or thoughts that were important to them then and which are probably affecting them now, and if this is reflected in the life work and attitudes they embrace now as an adult. So think back for a minute.
Yeah, you know, I can't think of anything in my childhood that would have caused me to think that somewhere down the road in like 2007 that I would have had my life transformed the way I had when I met the homeless man named Albert. So I don't think there's anything that I can recall that would have given me a clue that this was about to happen to me. I was raised as a Roman Catholic, and so I went to church and followed all the rules, and so that was my upbringing. And you know, and later on in life, when I began to sort of doubt some of the beliefs that the Catholic Church had taught me, then I was sort of casting about for a new paradigm to latch onto. And I had a bunch of questions, like everyone does, like who am I? Why am I here? You know, what happens to me when I die? And I was hoping to find those answers, and then I did one day. And I came through a homeless man who literally jumped out in front of me on the street one day, and we began a dialogue that went on for quite a while, and he answered all my questions and many others, and asked me to write a book about his revelations, which resulted in my first book, Dancing on a Stamp.
Well, I think in reading your book, I saw as a child you had many questions. What you were being taught or shown when you examined it with a critical eye didn't make enough sense to you. I was that way as a child, too. I felt and I loved God, even though I wasn't really religious. I prayed each night as a child that he'd watch over me. But I saw God as a very loving influence and not someone who would expect us to be punished or to experience suffering or to follow rules that didn't really make sense. I thought we had a personal power to connect individually to spirit or God or universal source, whatever we call it. And like you, these questions, perhaps in our mind, went up and were heard and were answered. In your case, you met this guide. And he helped you see a greater perception and reality of life than the books or than belief systems could show you. So I want to think that's what happens when we start to explore who we are, where we came from, what life is all about, and the world of energy or quantum physics, so we can merge science and spirituality and religion and really get a lot of answers that weren't given to us perhaps when we were children. Now, your first book, Dancing on a Stamp, describes your first encounter with your spirit guide, Albert. Tell us about that first contact, and were you aware of a higher power or energy overseeing your life journey from the time you were younger and then, or were you just accepting life as it was on face value?
I wasn't aware of a higher power. I wasn't aware that I had spirit guides. I was sort of very much in doubt about whether God, as depicted by the Catholic Church, was real, or whether there was some other higher power, or whether there was no higher power. I was very much of a questioning sort of person through my 30s and 40s, and then one day, it was in 2007, I was still practicing law then, and I went for a stroll down the street one sunny afternoon in May, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this homeless man just jumped right in front of me. And he looked very much like a typical homeless man with long stringy hair and a scraggly beard and dirty slept-in clothes. But instead of doing my usual maneuver of doing a quick sidestep around these people who I'd encountered on the street before, never him, but other people, I just stood there transfixed because he had these amazing, dazzling blue eyes that were just sparkling with an amazing radiance, and they were penetrating, his gaze was penetrating deep within my soul. I felt like he was looking into the bottom of my soul, and that he knew everything about me, which was strange because we'd never met before. But at the same time, his gaze was sending me this warm gush of pure unconditional love that was infusing my whole body with an amazing sense of peace and security and well-being. So it was an amazing feeling. That's why I stood there, because this guy was very, very different. And I don't know how long I stood there. I was like a deer caught in the headlights. And then eventually he broke the spell by saying to me, "Why are you here?" And he quickly disappeared into a nearby store. Well, when I finally collected my wits, I went in there to the store to try to find him, but he was nowhere to be seen. There was only one entrance and one exit, and he hadn't come out, but he wasn't in there. I walked out in the street, walked up and down trying to find him, but he had disappeared into thin air. So the next day I resolved I had to go back to try to find him. So next day, same time, same street, same place, I started walking up and down in the street to try to find him. And after 15 or 20 minutes, I finally spotted him sitting alone on a bench. And so I went up to him and I said, "Who are you and why did you stop me the other day?" And he said, "I'm a soul just like you, and I'm here to answer your questions and help you on your journey." And that was the beginning of an amazing dialogue that went on, off and on, for the next several months. He showed up in a physical form as the homeless man for the first three times we met. And he was physical because I could touch him and feel him. I could smell him because it seemed like he had not had a shower for 2 or 3 weeks. So I even said, "You smell like a dead fish." So he played the part very well. But as I sat down and began to talk to him, he revealed to me that he was really one of my spirit guides in disguise. His name was Albert, and he had come and he appeared before me. He wanted to have this dialogue with me because he wanted to answer my questions, and he wanted me to write a book about his revelations so other people would have access to it. And so that was the beginning of our conversation. After the first three visits, he no longer appeared in physical form, but he was just a voice in my head, and we just communicated by telepathy. And I recognized him immediately as soon as he started talking to me, that this was the homeless man I had met on the street. And he said he appeared to me as a homeless man because if he had just started talking to me as a voice in my head, I likely would have thought I was losing my mind. So it was his way of easing me into the conversation and getting me acquainted with him as my spirit guide. So it was very clever, very effective, and I'm glad he did it, because for sure, had he just started talking to me out of the blue, I probably would have gone to a psychiatrist to say, you know, what's happening to me?
I had an experience in a dream where a guide came to me, and it was after that that I started to read and look for people who were interested in these subjects, and eventually developed into an intuitive healer and medium. But I wrote in my book, The Living Spirit, we are not alone, of course. Each of us has scores of loving friends, relatives, angels, and guides on the other side, as well as here on the earth plane, reaching out to us even as we are reaching for them. Patient and loving, they are there to assist us with our every need and desire. As human beings, our first instinct is to share this new awareness with others, especially those we hold dear. But to our dismay, we often find that those around us are not nearly as enthusiastic about our transformation as we are. They may even react negatively to it. As we change, our relationships with friends, spouses, parents, even our children begin to change as well, and in ways that range from uncomfortable to downright painful. This is why many of us, even in the midst of our greatest connection, feel so utterly alone. So, Garnet, can you remember any reaction to the stories when you shared Albert with other people? Was this received with doubt or amazement, or simply written off as a midlife crisis?
Well, I think it was a bit of all of that. Initially, I didn't tell anybody initially for the longest time after I met Albert that I'd met him, and eventually I sort of slowly leaked it out to my wife. She was very supportive. She's very much of a spiritual person. She has had a couple of encounters, spiritual encounters herself, with her mother who passed away and her father as well. So she's very much in tune with that. So she was fine. My two sons were very good, very supportive. A lot of my friends were very supportive and said, you know, good for you to have the courage to come out of the spiritual closet and write about what you did. But there were some people who I lost. You know, some people just shunned me. And I'm sure they didn't say it to my face, but I'm sure, Cheryl, that they probably thought that I was, you know, becoming senile. But, you know, I expected that, you know, and I knew that some of that would happen. But you know what? It was all for the better because I lost some of my old friends, but I gained many more new ones. So, and overall, it's been an amazing transformational experience. So I wouldn't.
Absolutely. I experienced exactly the same. Some people would just roll their eyes. But when I discovered this truth, the greatest truth of all, that there is eternal life, we're energy, and we are here to enjoy experiences and feel emotions and improve our soul, refine our soul, I thought it was the greatest thing because I did not believe it before. I had many, many experiences, and now I know it to be true. And there's only 20% of us in the world who really can say that we know this. 80% of people are very much living a physical life, which is okay because perhaps that's what they are supposed to be experiencing at this time. So what you just said, I concur with you. I had many of the same reactions. But, however, you had a wife who was a great support to you, which you were very lucky to have. I think that was great. So now tell us something about your series of astral adventures and describe what you saw on your first visit to the spirit side.
Well, after my initial set of dialogues with Albert, where we communicated by telepathy, then after a period where he sort of went out of my life for a while, he suddenly showed up one night. I woke up in my bedroom, and I saw this ghost-like ethereal figure standing in the doorway of my bedroom. As it moved closer to my bed, I could see it was my old friend Albert in his homeless man disguise, but he was in astral form. And he said to me, "I've come to take you on a series of astral trips so that you can to the spirit side and to other places in the universe so that you can write about what you see in your next book." And so then he literally reached out and grabbed my astral hand, pulled it out of my astral body, out of my physical body. I turned around and looked at my body, was still physical body, was still laying asleep in bed. And he said, "Come with me," and he just sort of led me up through the ceiling. We floated up through the clouds and hovered above our beautiful planet Earth for a second or two so I could look back to see what a splendid sight our planet was from that perspective in space. And then he took me through a shimmering doorway, which he said was the doorway to the spirit side. And it was sort of all black with a shimmering outline. And as soon as I stepped through, I found myself in the middle of this beautiful, lush, green meadow with luxuriant green grass and majestic trees and wildflowers resplendent in a thousand different colors. And it was just an amazing, peaceful, bucolic scene. And we walked down the path. I was following Albert, and we went up a low hill. At the top of the hill, I noticed a group of souls waiting for me on the bottom. And as we got closer, my heart skipped a beat because I recognized who they were. They were my mother, my father, my brother, my grandparents, and various aunts and uncles who had already passed over from the earth plane. And then, to my delight, running from behind the group was my little dog, Oscar, who had passed away 10 years before. And his little tail was wagging his whole body as he raced towards me and to give me a big greeting. And so, very nice reunion. I was a bit apprehensive about my mother, not because I didn't love her dearly, but because she was a very staunch, religious Roman Catholic lady when she lived on Earth. And I wasn't kind to the Catholic Church in my first book, and so I was apprehensive about what she thought. But she allayed my fears. She just wrapped me in a big hug and said, you know, everything's okay. If I was still on the earth plane, I'd be very unhappy with what you wrote. But now that I'm here, I can see the whole picture, and I agree with everything you said. So that was a relief. So that was a nice reunion. But Albert didn't let me dawdle. Albert always had an agenda for me. So then he marched us off towards a white city that he called Aglaia. The buildings were all white and gleaming. And there we marched down the street and went into a building he called the Hall of Wisdom, where we had a meeting with the Council of Wise Ones.
Is that the same as the Akashic Records? Did you think building was that?
Well, no. The Akashic Records are on the spirit side. They're actually in a building called the Hall of Records. This was the Hall of Wisdom. So the Akashic Records are in a different building. I ended up going there on one of my astral trips, but my first visit was to the Hall of Wisdom, where we went into this large chamber and we met with this what he called the Council of Wise Ones. He said it's their duty to oversee all the incarnations on the planet Earth. And so there was 11 souls, very wise, regal-looking souls, all with snow-white hair and smooth skin, and they were wearing gold robes with white sashes. They're all sitting around this sort of horseshoe-like table. And the chair is sitting in the middle, the chair of the committee. Her name was Sophia. She's the one who addressed me. She said, we asked Albert to bring you here because we have a message for you to take back to your fellow humans. And so that's why I ended up having a meeting with the Council of Wise Ones.
Tell us about the power of thought and how miracles are performed.
Well, Albert explained to me, I can't remember how we got into the conversation, but he said to me that thoughts are very powerful. They're beams of energy that fan out and affect other energy and thoughts in the universe. And so he says, you know, when you're walking down the street and you think you're having a conversation with yourself, you know, be warned that you're actually having a conversation with the universe, because all of those thoughts that are rolling around your head actually spin out and fan out and affect things in the universe. And more focused thoughts are more powerful than scattered thoughts, just like a laser beam is more powerful than the beam from a flashlight. And so thoughts are very powerful, and focused thoughts can do many amazing things. He said, like, you know, miracles, the miracles attributed to Moses and Jesus and some of the other people in the Bible, he said those were caused by those people. They were souls who were masters who had incarnated on earth to help mankind, you know, better themselves, and that these masters had become very adept at tapping into the energy of the universe and focusing their thoughts so they could perform their miracles, like walking on water and turning water into wine and feeding multitudes with a few loaves of bread and some fish. So those things actually did happen. They performed them, and that's just because they learned how to utilize their thoughts. You know, most of us aren't capable of doing that because we only utilize like 10% of our brain power. And once we learn to utilize more of it, someday we'll be able to do things just like Moses and Jesus did.
Absolutely.
The Bible.
It's happening now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's beginning to happen. We are beginning to move greatly into a new spiritual realm. And, you know, when I was a little girl, I thought anything the mind could think of could be created. When I saw Star Trek and how they transferred a person through this tunnel and the molecules all broke up and then they traveled to another place, I said, we'll do something like that. So it's absolutely true. What we focus our mind on and our intention, and if we follow through and allow, accept, and surrender to the possibilities. Anything is possible. There is nothing that we are not capable as spiritual beings to create, but we have to conquer the fear and limitations of the physical world and our ego or mind reality to do that. And that's what all the masters have always been able to do. No, truly, they're a soul, an energy form, and they have the power of the divine, because they are the divine. They're part of the divine. Every soul on earth is a small spark of that divine force. Now, you wrote, all souls go to heaven when their physical bodies die, terrorists and murderers. And you wrote, life on earth is a way for souls to learn and evolve without any concern about retribution or punishment. Murderers do not go to the spirit side as a reward for their crimes. They go to the spirit side because there is no other place to go. All souls start out from the spirit side and return there when they die, regardless of what kind of life they lived. Murderers and terrorists will have a difficult time conducting their life reviews, as they will then fully understand the pain and suffering they inflicted on others, for which they will be very remorseful. Other souls will not criticize or shun murderers, as God does not judge the souls. All part of God does not judge and will forgive them unconditionally. After a while, the murderers will be eager to return to earth in another life so they can make amends and live a better life the next time around. So everything in life is but an experience to develop greater love and compassion, right?
Absolutely. Everything is an experience, and we came here to experience these things, to grow and evolve as souls, as you mentioned, for sure. And so the matter, we plan certain things before we're born in our life plans, but because we don't remember what's in it and we have free will to act, we're very often going to stray off course. And sometimes, you know, so we all make mistakes, we all take wrong turns, but it's all a learning experience, and we can gain wisdom from everything that we encounter in our lives, whether it's good or bad. And some people just go way off course, the murderers, they lose control of their negative emotions and they cause them harm. But as Albert told me, at the end of the day, they go back to the spirit side just like the good guys. And that may seem unjust to some people, Cheryl, but that's just the way it works.
Well, you know, I'm beginning to understand that that's what unconditional love is. And a soul of great compassion and unconditional love will be able to do that. We'll be able to understand everything as it is right, all is as it should be, and eventually that other soul will correct itself. So I'm starting to feel more comfortable with that than I used to be. So how might we begin to integrate the messages shared by Albert and other guides and the many mediums and visionaries and integrate them into modern day life to create the future that perhaps spirit wants us to work towards?
Well, what we need to do, according to Albert, is we need to, first of all, curtail and discard our negative emotions like fear, anger, hate, and greed, because that's really what's holding us back as a human race. To do that, we need to fully embrace love, compassion, and forgiveness. And so it may be hard to do to someone who causes you harm to turn around and forgive them and love them unconditionally, but that's really where we have to go, Cheryl. And by doing that, we can raise our vibrations, our vibratory rates, and eventually we can ascend up to what Albert calls the new earth, which is our planet in a higher dimension. That's where we need to go. But as long as we keep on maintaining our negative emotions in varying degrees, we're not going to get there. So that's the first obstacle.
I agree with you. And parents and all of us have got to begin to understand we are each a soul. And we should say it to our children. And we should teach them that because they are a soul, they have great personal power and ability to follow their own dreams. And I want to thank you, Garnet Schulhauser, author of Dancing Forever with Spirit, for sharing your amazing insights from heaven and for infusing into the human experience through your writing, the divine hope for a clear, concise, valued perception of the possibilities for moving into a state of higher consciousness, unity, and oneness, instead of living in separation, fostered by many old belief systems and societal mores, which have forgotten over time the valued and treasured connection we all have to each other and to spirit and to eternal life. To learn more and to purchase Garnet's books, go to Garnet schulhauser.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have journeyed alongside Garnet and Cheryl, who feel blessed and honored to have opened the channels of communication to those life forms and the intelligence of universal wisdom, which offer us a clear remembrance of our spiritual soul presence that defines and directs our physical life journey, our thoughts, actions, and behaviors. If we remove the fears and limitations of our mind or ego-based reality to remember we have the potential to build a life of personal joy, happiness, and also improve the planet, we will evolve into more compassionate and loving beings. There is a major shift now, and many humans are in the process of expanding their consciousness and transitioning to a higher vibrational frequency, and in the process shedding many negative emotional states. Most adults and even advanced children are beginning to ask deep, intimate questions in order to discern the true nature of existence, as they may not have been able to find adequate answers through the normal channels of religion, family, and work life. Some have been fortunate to make a connection to a higher being or guide, as Gary did when Albert stepped out of the shadows and his wisdom flew in the face of everything that many holy religious people have been preaching for hundreds of years. Many years ago, they even burnt people at the stake for espousing these eternal truths of the nature of life. And now so many of us are becoming aware of our divine gifts to connect to this higher energetic source personally and without the structures of ancient philosophies. The way to find this connection is through the heart or soul in alignment to universal source, and it is for everybody. Garnet and I would ask you to meditate, dream, walk in nature, ask spirit to visit and share their love and beauty. Love more and act with kindness. It is quite possible that you will meet up with your spirit guide, who will embrace you with the truth of life, eternal life, and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, author of The Living Spirit, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to the experts in the metaphysical, scientific, medical, educational, religious, and the arts share their insights and methods for your personal development and for an improved world community. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.